want to invite you all to stay standing as we hear our prayer today.
Will you join me in prayer this morning? Oh, God of new beginnings, and God who walks through us through every end of the year and beginning of the year, Lord, we thank you for the closing of 2025 and the opening of 2026. Lord, we are here, we are breathing. Thank you, Lord, for our life and for the people in this room who have life around us. But we pause now, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you would be near. We bring everything we have this morning, Lord, our faith, our doubt, our celebrations, our expectations, our unknowns, our frustrations, our happiness, Lord, we offer it all to you as worship. Lord, some of us arrive hopeful, full of gratitude, and some of us arrive tired and carrying grief. But all of us arrive, Lord, because you have carried us here to this place. You have carried us this far. Lord, today we ask that you would be with those in our church family amongst us, Lord, who are aching, who are grieving losses, and who are navigating change that they didn't choose. For those of us who are waking up with questions that we don't have answers to yet, Lord, Lord, wrap us in your comfort. And Lord, remind each and every one of us here that we are not walking alone into this year. Lord, will we respond to that? Would we do our part? Lord, we lift up our students, our teachers, our administrators who return to classes tomorrow and in the coming days, Lord. Give them energy, patience. Let schools be a place where kindness can be shown and growth can happen. Lord, we pray for our church here, for our mission, for our leadership, our volunteers, for our finances, Lord. Lead us where your spirit leads. And God, as we begin this year, we choose to be present. Take our minds, take our hearts, take this moment, Lord, and receive our worship as we continue to sing. In Jesus' name, let's all say together, amen.
Assieds-toi. Any French speakers here? Means sit down. I forgot the word for please, so I'm not being rude. Sadly, living in Southern California, I learned the wrong language in high school. Not much call for French here, you might have noticed. If any French restaurants around, I can at least use it when I order my food. Good morning, everybody. This rainy Sunday in beautiful Scotland. My name is Grant, and I have the privilege of serving as lead pastor at New Song here, and excited to begin a new year with you all and with this community that surrounds us. But there's a few things I just want to share before we kick off our new sermon series. We have some cards in the seat backs in front of you. Hopefully they are there. And there are three cards, and they are simple kind of administrative things that we use, but for our mission, because our deepest desire and joy is really to connect with other people, to form community, to build deepening relationships, but in the shadow and under the wings of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we find the relationships can grow in the most healthy ways. So the Connect card is simply to let us know that you were here today, if you're a guest with us today. Maybe this is a chance to start the new year with a new community. I think community more and more and more in our divided and chaotic world is deeply important. And as we say, we value that here. So if you'd fill a card in, that would be really wonderful. And we will be in touch with you just with a simple email and little updates, but very little. We're not trying to sell you anything, right? There's prayer cards as well. You can specify on the prayer card how would you like your prayer handled. There's we have a website, Prayer Wall, and that can have your name on it. It can be anonymous on there, or we have about 80 or so people who pray when they receive the email. You can share it there. Also, at the table at the back here, there's a box which says Pastors Only Prayer. If you have anything at all, whether it be prayer or something you're celebrating or anything you want to share with the pastors, please, you can put that in the box at the back there. And then finally, we have giving envelopes in the back. There's many ways to support the ministry of Yusong Church, and we really urge people to do so. It's a really vital part of our partnership and our service. Money is about the second most frequent thing Jesus talked about, because it can be a problem, but it can also be a beautiful, powerful thing when people get together, bringing a little of how God has blessed them, and then putting it very purposely and intentionally. And we take very seriously the funds that we have, and we work well with little, but we do have a budget we'd like to meet so we can continue the year strong. I just want to say thank you to everybody who gave a little extra for our end of year giving. That is so beautiful. It is a fragrant offering to God, and it's going to make a difference in this community. We transform this thing we call money into life and to life-giving. And it is transformative through all the ministries that we do here that God has gifted us to do with our hands and our feet. We also have a fill-in-the-blanks if you got that. If you didn't get one, there should be some at the back on the table there if you want to grab one. It's not compulsory, right? No one's checking. I know there's like pressure. We still have a holdover from school, like fill in the blanks and you got one wrong and you feel you're in trouble. Not compulsory. Actually, the most important thing I believe is on the back. And it is a scripture which kind of pertains to next week's message. And I would encourage us all to spend some time, even if you don't crack your Bible open much in the week, spend some time with the passage on the back. And then there's a midweek text, which you hopefully should receive to kind of start getting you thinking about what it is we're going to together explore. This is a communal thing that we do. It's not simply a monologue. This is hopefully a dialogue. So, yeah, I think I'm going to do one more thing. I'm going to dismiss the preschool kids or any preschoolers here. Leslie, if you want to raise your hand, Leslie is back here. If you're a preschooler and you want to go hang out with Leslie, then she is there. Thank you, Leslie. So we're getting started. I'm really excited about this new sermon series. It's our first of 2026. It's going to be 7 weeks. And it's entitled this. It's called Go, the Good News in Your Shoes. The Good News in Your Shoes. Really what we're trying to think about and actually move more deeply into is this practice of how do we share our faith? In this particular time and place, this culture, this community, because that changes over time, doesn't it? There's ways that maybe people would use to share the gospel, like in the, you know, the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. We're in this very different place. Maybe you haven't noticed, but it's a very different world of how we communicate, how we even understand truth and meaning and identity. And so we're doing this in a community where a couple of things are present, I think. The first one is there's a lot of people who are like a burned over area of forest, you know, and a spark just won't catch. It's already burned over. They've heard it before. Maybe they've been in church. Maybe they've been Christians. Maybe they're post-Christian now, or they've deconstructed, whatever that means, right? Yeah, I've been there, done that, and I don't want to be part of that. And then the other side maybe is where it feels like there's just no relevance to Christian faith. This is not relevant to people's lives. Or it's even worse perhaps because of the way the media works and it likes to use contentious issues because it sells advertising, right? Is sometimes our faith has become simply a stand-in for a political way. That people are, I'm not that kind of political person. I don't want to get involved. Even the word evangelical has become more of a stand-in for a political way rather than what it used to mean, which we hopefully we'll get into in this season. But go with the good news in your shoes. It's personal. It's to hopefully bring us confidence that like our own lives, uniquely as God has made us and as we are becoming, can be a conduit for the good news about Jesus. The scriptures, Romans chapter 10, Paul says this, he reminds us from an Old Testament passage, says, that is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. And I don't know how beautiful your feet are. Maybe you're, you know, a little embarrassed about the shape of your feet, but let me tell you, the feet that go into the world to bring good news are beautiful feet. Many of you have expressed excitement about this series. We've talked, Melody and I, with several people because it's been a challenge to think about this. And I'm excited. You know, I'm going to learn a lot because I'm going to be studying pretty hard in this. And I'm excited to learn more about how to share the love of God with people. And specifically, not just the general love of God, but the specific love that is found in Christ. Go with the good news in your shoes. What's your experience when it comes to sharing your faith with other people? For those of you who've been in the faith for a long time, that could have gone through many phases, different forums, right? The verse fill in the blank thing is actually just a question. Maybe you've got to it already, but it's just what word comes to mind when you think about sharing your faith? And that could be so many different things. Perhaps there's a whole new concept to you. How would you feel if I proposed that we all just leave here right now, get our raincoats on or umbrellas, and we split up and go knock on all the doors in this neighborhood and go and share the gospel? Just cold call someone's door. Hello? People in their pajamas, the smell of toast wafting out. Some of you would be really into that. Some of you would, we'd never see you again. There are obstacles to sharing our faith. I think some of these will be familiar to you, perhaps. And the first is just, I'm super nervous about it. It just fills me with fear. Secondly, maybe I've tried to broach the subject with other people. I've done that, and it felt awkward. It felt unnatural. It felt pushy. It felt weird. The second, third one, maybe I don't know enough about theology. I'm not a theologian. I won't be able to answer people's questions. The first question they ask, I'm going to be like, oh, no. You know, that's funny. Just briefly, sometimes I've done, in my own church experience, done like, you know, role-playing in evangelism. It's always a lot easier than it with another Christian, a kind Christian than it is maybe with a complete, an atheist, right? I don't feel like I'm living a good enough life to be able to share my faith. I think that's a common one. I'm not really worthy. I'm not really the best example of Christianity. I don't have all my beliefs figured out yet. I'm not even sure exactly how I believe in all of this. How am I supposed to share? Isn't it intolerant to tell other people that they should believe something different than they believe? It's a big thing in our culture, right? Intolerance. Maybe the political thing, right? There's too much baggage around. I think people maybe think I'm a certain, they got to fill in all the blanks about who I am if I talk about Jesus because of the way things are portrayed, perhaps in the media. I'm worried about losing friends if I talk about my faith too much. And many more reasons. And I think people feel the pressure. And the pressure to do so, it says in the Bible, it comes up against some of these things. And we feel like a tension that maybe is more than it needs to be. And I think I've felt that myself. You know, we could take weeks discussing how each person has encountered that. I mean, think about that. When's the last time you shared literally, clearly your faith with another person? It might have been a long time. Maybe you're carrying guilt from that. But one thing is clear, I want to get clear this morning, is this, is that the Christian faith is a missionary faith. Like this faith is meant to be given away, not kept to ourselves. It's not simply a personal private faith. It is to be proclaimed. Hide it under a bushel. I'm going to let it shine. This is the line of mine. I'm going to let it shine. The Bible, talking of things shining, the Bible in the very first chapter of Genesis introduces us a testimony to a personal God who speaks life into existence. Not a distant God, but one who made us in his image. That's close, that's intimate. Made us in his image. We carry his fingerprints, his image. How profound is that? And he made us for relationship with himself and other people. Implicit in that is an invitation to relationship. The very final words of the Bible, it begins with that, it ends with an invitation to receive this life as a priority, without cost. Revelation 22, the Spirit and the church say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes receive life-giving water as a gift. So some of Jesus' last words, you may be familiar with what's called the Great Commission, are pretty clear on this point. At least to those men and women of that day, he was addressing them specifically. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." What's interesting about that, he gives a command. He doesn't say what it should look like. There's no formula. There's no system, right? It's a very general command, like this should go out. Well, then we get in after the gospel to the book of Acts, and it is actually those words in the flesh of men and women. Men and women, dusty sandaled feet, walking the roads of the Roman Empire, going out, led by the Holy Spirit. And there were moments of blessing, great blessing. We read it in Acts, an increase. This thing was growing. But there was also moments of resistance and even violence towards those who come bearing this good news that Jesus of Nazareth has conquered death and invites people to receive new life in him. We see throughout the New Testament that the words that Jesus spoke to his first followers, he said, what did he say? He said, "Follow me," are now being spoken through the tongues of other people about Jesus. Follow him. And this role has been given, Scripture's clear, to all who have the name of Jesus on their lips and in our hearts, and our lives are pointed toward that direction, is a role that we have been given. 2 Corinthians says that all this is from God, who reconciled him to us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We can't really escape this idea that we are, this truth, that we are to be those who share the good news. Our first step this morning in this 7 weeks is to identify the basic foundation for sharing our faith. Someone actually tried to evangelize me just a couple of months ago. Weird, eh? I'm a pastor, man. They told me about the amazing ways that their life had changed as a result of the decision that they had made. They promised me that if I would believe their testimony and open up my heart, my life to a new possibility, it would make a huge difference to my life. They promised that I could never really experience my best life until I made a decision to accept what they were sharing. And even that I would potentially come to regret missing this opportunity. But the thing is, as they were sharing with me, I'm like open-hearted because I was already a convert. Their words fell on deaf ears. I'm already a friendly believer. Hokas are the best shoes for aging feet. Amen? Amen. Anyone? Yep. Brothers and sisters. It was Dwayne, actually, who's not here this morning, I don't think. Dwayne tried to evangelize me about shoes. And he was super excited about them. And I actually own Hokas. So I'm like, amen, brother. We drew a little sneaker on the ground. And then he put the eyes for the laces to so secret, you know, in case we got discovered. That illustrates the first point that I want to make. We are probably already all evangelists about something. We are already evangelists about something. What is the definition of an evangelist? It is a zealous advocate of a particular cause or way of life. A zealous advocate of a particular cause or anything. Someone who is zealous about something wants to share it. Here are just a few things that evangelists have shared with me throughout the years. CrossFit and other exercise programs. You got to do this, man. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Any CrossFitters out there? Is it a cult? Various restaurants and coffee shops. so excited. You've got to try this new French place. You could use your language, your second language, Grant. Remember that? Best cup of coffee. Analog audio over digital. And it is true. Analog is much better than digital and much more hard to care for, expensive. I had 19 boxes of vinyl records packed up right now for my move and tempted to take them to the used record store and just say, how much will you give me? The pleasures of various sports. Golf, pickleball. Oh, you've got to try it. TV shows and movies, from Stranger Things to The Great British Bake Off. You've got to watch this movie, this show. Have you seen it? Have you seen it? They're excited, right? Have you had people share things with you that they were evangelistic about? New Song Church. You got to come to church. My pastor's got a Scottish accent. He's so cool. I don't even listen to what he says. I just bathe in the Highland sounds. It's already in our common human experience that if we love and value something, we have a strong urge to share it with people. Amen? Why? Why? I think the best and purest motive that I can think of is because we care about the people around us and we want their lives to be better. I think love compels us to share that which has been for us of great importance or benefit or value. We want to share it with people. To paraphrase a line from the movie Monsters, Incorporated, we share because we care. We share because we care. In fact, it's so funny because Eileen this morning, there was evangelism happening in the corridor this morning around the product that is known to us as Vicks VapoRub. Because a lot of you have had some sniffles this winter, right? Who has a Vicks tip for when you're feeling unwell? Anyone? Eileen does. Put on your feet, stick socks on the top. Whatever, right? Why would Eileen share that with people? Because she cares about them. It's been a benefit to her. She cares. Our sermon title this morning is this, that evangelism equals overflow. Evangelism equals overflow. And what that means is this, we will only authentically share about the good news of Jesus if there is overflow from our actual experience with God. We will only really authentically share, authentically I'm talking about, not by duty or obedience or checking a box, gave out some tracts, told someone, do you know Jesus? If a bus hit you tomorrow, where would you go? Whatever, right? Maybe that comes from overflow too, but I'm talking about this, that if it needs to come from a genuine overflow of a genuine relationship with a genuine Savior. So therefore, the converse is true. We cannot share about that which we have not experienced for ourselves. We won't share positively about that which we don't really value. And I can't share the good news until it is actually good news to me. I'm going to give us a little biblical example of Jesus in his ministry. In Mark chapter 1, we hear this story. A leper came to Jesus, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. You better believe no one had ever been to the temple in recent memory to give a proof that they'd been healed of leprosy. There was a lot going on in this passage. But then, and he said, yeah, say nothing to anyone, but he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. The whole thing about Jesus telling people not to say, there's lots of theories about why he was saying, don't tell what happened. I mean, a lot of people say basically because his time was not ready to kind of step in and say, okay, this is happening. Jesus tells him, though, not to say anything, but he can't help himself. When salvation has entered in, silence is impossible. Overflow. And this is the pattern for Christian witness throughout the New Testament. Men and women who had found themselves met by Jesus, by the gospel, the overflow of this would led them to speak. Jesus made promises about this to his people, to the people listening to him. Jesus made promises to those who would enter into life with him. And we should claim them. We should ponder them, think about them. They call us to higher expectations, perhaps. Jesus, John reports that Jesus said in John 7, "Whoever believes in me," Jesus said, "as scripture it says, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Overflow. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." We talked about fruit last year. The fact that bearing fruit, fruit's usually colorful, it's attractive, it's visible, right? And then Jesus said this, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Our dearest loves. That which we value the most, the mouth will inevitably speak of what the heart is full of. And then his first followers echoed these words. Disciples, Peter and John, were arrested. Those rabble-rousing troublemakers. What were they doing? They weren't vandalizing the Roman buildings, right? They're just talking about the Messiah. And they were arrested, and they were threatened by the religious leaders, simply commanded, "Do not speak in this name anymore." And they said this, "As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." As for us, we cannot help. It's not even decide to, it's not going to happen. My paraphrase is this, "Well, sorry folks, but we're pretty sure we can't make that promise. Because we have been captivated by what we've experienced and we are filled to overflowing. So don't count on it. We'll probably be seeing you again, magistrates." I think it's the reason why new believers are so keen to share their faith so often. You remember that? Maybe if you're not such a new believer anymore. New Christians, it's like those with really aching feet who just got their first pair of Hokas in the mail. They can't believe how good they feel. They're the best evangelists, right? The first time I went to Satu Thai in Azusa, the first time I went to the Greek Leaf in Glendora, you better believe I told at least 5 to 10 people how great these restaurants were. I don't share it so much anymore, right? Also, I don't want too many people going because I don't want it to get busy or the prices to go up, okay? Yeah, people who encounter Jesus, there's something that starts to come out. I remember when I first was returned to faith, I became a Christian when I was 13, and then for various reasons, usually silly, stupid human things at churches, a church split, various things, I kind of went off into the world until I was 29, 30 years old. I came back to faith, and I'd never been baptized. I'm 30, just got a new baby. I was baptized, and it was a profound moment for me. And I was such a little evangelist. I shared my faith. I used to go to the Goodwill, they used to have actually sections. There's a religious section, and I was always hungry for new books, but I'd hang out there, and people would take books, and I'd just strike up conversations. "Oh, what's that book you're reading? Huh?" And I ended up doing this a lot, because I was just so grateful. So grateful that Christ had received me back again, and I had felt this love and an unburdening of my guilt and my shame and my baggage. So for many reasons, people feel this early flood of a desire to share. Maybe it's a removal of the guilt and shame they felt. Maybe it's a new sense of hope in life. Maybe it's some sort of healing, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual. Maybe it's because they have moved from isolation and loneliness into a community that seems to love them. My first church, man, that we went to, they were a wacky bunch of people, and me and Ron are wacky people, so we fit in well. But they fiercely loved us. we were so new and so out of our depth in life and everything, and these people just like blessed us. I wanted other people to discover this. It's a massive part of it, right? It's not just this vertical thing. It's this. New believers are profoundly grateful and joyful, so much so that they can actually be annoying. I was kind of annoying when I was a new believer. My overflow, you know, just like at work, whatever, right? I know I annoyed some people. It was a very unformed, kind of rough thing, but it was because it was overflow. I wasn't thinking too much about it. I was just saying, but this tells us something important, I think. In order to share our faith, we shouldn't focus so much on the act of doing so. Rather, we should seek to enjoy the gift that we have been given, to enjoy this relationship with God and others more fully each day. We need to become enthusiasts before we become evangelists. That's the first thing. Enjoy your relationship with God. It's almost satanic. It's like our enemy wants us to share our faith and focus so much on the guilt of not doing so and the pressure to do so and convert everybody. We're not even enjoying our faith. But if we flip that and we say, delight yourself in the Lord. Wake up each day and say, God, I want your goodness. I receive it. I love you. I want to know you. Then perhaps the overflow will start to spill out from a satisfied soul. So what does this actually look like, maybe when we walk out of here? What do I want to leave you with? A few thoughts as we begin this journey, which I hope will help us so much to feel joyful about this. When we walk out here in our particular shoes, whether they're uncomfortable or comfortable, going. The first thing is this. Let's take the pressure off. Let's take the pressure off. Evangelism was never meant to be forced or scripted or performative. If it's overflow, then the question is not how do I say more about Jesus, but how do I stay close to Jesus? How do I stay close? How do I enjoy my faith? This week, don't try to talk louder about your faith. I could have ended this thing by saying, go and share the faith with three people. What I'm telling you to do is try and enjoy your faith more deeply as a starting place. Celebrate what he has freed you from. Celebrate what he is welcoming you into. Celebrate your faith. Stay connected to the vine. Make space for prayer, for that relationship which was the beginning of this story and is our promise for eternity. Let grace meet you again. Receive what God is already offering to you. Because you don't manufacture overflow. You prioritize and protect the source. That's our job, to prioritize and protect the source of overflow. That maybe my mouth then will speak. The heart speaks of what the mouth speaks of what the heart is full of. The second is this: pay attention to what already spills out of you. You already have overflow about certain subjects and things. Pay attention to how excited you get about other things. Notice what you talk about when you're excited, what you recommend without thinking. Start to think about the impulse there. What you light up about. The instinct to share is already there. God is not asking you to become someone else. He's inviting you to notice how he already might be at work in you. Where are you already sharing from a place of love? So think about this. What overflows from your life? Notice, evaluate, and maybe reprioritize if necessary. The third thing is this, don't drown other people with your overflow, okay? Gospel, good news in your shoes. There are other shoes around you, and they're also on a journey, And God loves them. And he's probably all doing some stuff in their lives. I think sometimes us Christians can come in and we're like, we don't say this, but it's almost like, I've been sent. And God's like, I'm good. I'm actually working. Yeah, you have a little tiny role to play. No, I'm getting from A to Z today. And we just pour it out in their face. You know, the thing I really love saying, shine your light, but just don't blind people. Don't shine it right in their eyes, right? Listen more than you speak. Let God be a participant in this dynamic, right? God is there. He's with you. Listen when he speaks. Stay curious. Stay curious and be present. If Christ is genuinely overflowing from our lives, then the first contact that others have should be that overflow that looks, smells, tastes, feels like Jesus. The grace and the welcome that he's offered you, that should be what the overflow generally feels like. And finally, this is so important, release the results to God. You are not responsible to change someone's heart. That is God's role. You are an ambassador, not a savior. Your role is presence and faithfulness. It takes a lot of confidence, a lot of trust to believe that God will use you. You gotta be listening. You gotta be praying. Don't assume you know what that person needs to change or needs to do. Don't assume much of anything. Release the results to God. God handles transformation. He's been doing it for a long time, and he did it and is doing it in your life. And I know there's been times in my life when I was far from God and well-meaning people did the very opposite of what they intended by nagging at me, pressuring me, trying to trick me, argumentation, whatever it might be. And it actually made me move further away because it didn't smell or look like Jesus to me. They're trying to win a convert. So release the results to God. Here's the invitation as we begin the series. This week, stay close to Jesus and pay attention to what starts spilling out. Because when grace fills us and when our personal gratitude to God deepens, when love takes root, overflow naturally occurs because you love the people around you and you want to share. And the good news ends up exactly where God intends it to be, right there in your shoes. In your shoes. Are we okay? Are we awake? It's just a start. We got so much to think about. I had 78 pages and I pared it down to 10, so might even get out of here for an early lunch. What a gift at the beginning of a new year. And this is what communion's about. It's one of the reasons we do this every week, because it's an opportunity to once again hear God's invitation. Come to the table. Your weary soul is longing for rest, for peace, for a reminder that he has not forsaken you. He's not forgotten you. His grace is new. His faithfulness is new every morning. At the beginning of this new year, we come to the table to say amen to all the promises of God that have been yes in Jesus Christ, who gave his life to set us free from sin and death, to welcome us into community, into relationships, into newness of life. The Apostle Paul reminds us, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is exactly the dynamic we're talking about. We come for the sustenance of knowing that Christ is our Savior. And we do so together. We do so publicly as a testimony to what's happened. Just like baptism. When we are baptized, it's a personal proclamation that I have been renewed. That I'm taking a new path. I'm turning 180 degrees from my life, from that direction to this direction. But it's also a witness and a testimony of what God has done. This is the pattern for life. We receive and then we share. So we share together in your own time. There's a table at the back and a table at the front. Come and take the bread and the cup, and then we'll hold these together and take them again shortly. Just a moment, we're going to sing a song, one of my favorite songs ever in Christian music, and it's by Fernando Ortega. It's called Give Me Jesus. I can't think of a better way to start the year than to proclaim that. That's the point, right? It's give me Jesus. And only from that feeling, that experience, that relationship, will we be able to then share what it is that we've been given, because it's real and it's true. And this is a long journey, so we can rest that He will answer when we ask, we seek, we knock. He'll open the door, He'll give, and He will give us what we need to do, what He calls us to do. Amen. So we're going to take communion today by saying some words. I will read, and then you guys will respond, and we will enjoy this table of fellowship to remember that He has done it. It is finished. This is Christ's table. For those who are on the way, for those who come with tired feet and open hands, we come because Christ invites us. Scripture says, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it. This bread is strength for the journey, the body of Christ given for you. Thanks be to God. Scripture says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This cup is grace poured out. Good news meant to be shared. The blood of Christ shed for you. Thanks be to God. Scripture reminds us how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Fed by Christ, we are sent into the world He made and loves with a confidence that He is with us. With full assurance of our peace with God, we move our feet towards the world, carrying His peace to all. Amen. Let us sing together, Give Me Jesus. So good. Ben, I love your guitar playing, man. That's one guitar to another, guitar player to another. Yeah, just, you know, it's interesting just how we can move through this time together. The early songs had me cracked here, it had tears in my eyes, and it's like being transformed into joy. Isn't that the picture, you know? We can sorrow, and then there's joy comes in the morning. So thanks, guys. Appreciate it so much. A few things to share.
So a few things, as you can probably hear and smell, soup is on its way in. We invite you to stay for Soup Sunday. Linger. There are a lot of soup. So why don't you give a round of applause to everyone who brought a soup today? And it's always, if you're ever interested in knowing who did what, their name is usually right below. So please tell them if you enjoyed their soup. Next week, there is also lunch provided to you. Pizza. But you have to pay for that one. There will be pizza on sale for the high school fundraiser for their winter retreat. So it is the last fundraiser they are going to do for that. So please grab a slice and support the high school group. The other thing that is happening in 2 weeks, if you have a middle schooler and you have not registered, or you know a middle schooler and think this is a good thing for them to maybe participate in, this is going to be a middle school overnighter where they have tons and tons of fun. There is a jacuzzi. It is great. So it is the last Sunday, I believe. Nope, it says register now. So register now.
Thanks, Mel. Couple of things. This week, our intrepid crew are going to San Dimas Retirement Center. I just want to say thank you to those of you who came for the carol singing on that Monday. There were more of us than there were residents, which was fantastic. But they loved it. They were blessed by it. And it just kind of reverberated the room with our singing, which was great. Wednesday at 10 a.m., we go every first Wednesday of the month. We go to the main place and we do a full service for an hour. And then some of us go to the memory care unit for half an hour where I just bash out gospel songs on my guitar and we have a good time. If you want to come, you can meet us here at the church at 9:45. And we usually carpool up there just before 10 o'clock. So you're welcome to come if you want to come and be there with those folks. Secondly, tomorrow, Stop, Drop, and Pray begins again. If you want to come pray with me, it's not so much about general prayers for illness or sickness. It's specifically about the things that are happening this coming week. We want to add the power of God's people's prayers to everything that we put our hands to, and that's been our desire. So there's also a text that goes out. So stop, drop, and pray if you can at 12 o'clock. If you're driving, don't close your eyes, but please pray at 12 o'clock tomorrow if you get that text or join me. Finally, we have three small groups which are very active. Two of them are beginning next week, but the one that meets at the campus here with Alva, who's back here. Alva, hi, Alva. And Barb, where's Barb Stalnacker? Is she around? Barb's back there too. 6:30 Tuesday in the other building, a small group meets there, and it's a really, really good time. What they do is they have sermon questions, a chance to explore more deeply what we talk about on Sunday mornings. So you're all welcome, any of you who'd want a place to explore that. Tuesday, 6:30 p.m.
And lastly, as the new year has begun, there is still plenty to do always. Pantry, we are looking for new fresh blood volunteers. We have a pantry distribution pretty much every week, and specifically the second week of the month, which happens to be this month. We are looking for signups, so please come talk to me if you are interested in doing that. I can give you all the details. It is a great time where we just have an abundance of food to give out usually. So I think also a good way to go is to serve. And so when people just kind of get to see some faces, they start to chat and look around and feel comfortable. As this also happens in the garden with Rana right here. Rana, raise your hand. If you are interested in volunteering in the garden, you're her biggest fan. Yeah. that's very cute. That also happens the same days that we do pantry distribution, and Rana is always, always looking for people to help volunteer there. You don't have to be a gardener or an expert in any way, shape, or form. Just come and she will put you to work. So those are happening this Saturday. Please come talk to me or Rana.
Thanks, Mel. I'm going to close now with a blessing as the smells of soup pervade the room. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy your soup. See you soon.